We'd like to direct your attention to Zechariah chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. As Zechariah says, "As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." You must remember that the people that Zechariah is addressing are people who are demoralized, people who are discouraged, people who, as they are looking at their lot in life, feel that there is no hope of ever accomplishing those things that they desired to see accomplished. They were depressed. The problems seemed too large for them to really cope with. They had started out with high hopes when they left Babylon and Persia to come back to the land. But they were not mentally prepared for what they would face when they got there. The devastation and the rubble was just more than they imagined. And having started the rebuilding of the temple, they soon just gave up and let it go. Haggai came along and he encouraged them to get back to work, encouraged them to rely upon the Lord and in the power of the Spirit of God, for through the power of the Spirit he assured them that the work could be accomplished. And so they've started again. But now they've been 2 years, and they're only half finished. And Zechariah comes to them again with words of encouragement. He declares that the Lord will come and encamp in this house that they were building. He encouraged them to rejoice and to shout, for their king was coming. But he declared that he would have salvation, but he would be lowly and sitting on a donkey. Jeremiah speaks first in verse 11 of the prisoners in the pit. Now, in those days in that land, they really did not build prisons, but would usually just toss the prisoner down into a pit, into an empty well. Sometimes it wasn't always empty. Sometimes it was muddy and all down in the bottom of the well. You remember that Jeremiah was cast into the well, and he began to sink, it said, in the mire in the bottom of the pit. And they would put a stone over the top, and usually the prisoner was just left there to starve to death. It was almost like being buried alive. Sometimes friends or family would come and drop food to them. And so, imprisoned in a pit, Jeremiah says, surely there is no escaping such a confinement. The prisoner who was in that pit was truly hopeless down there in the darkness of that pit. Some of you have found yourself hopelessly imprisoned in the pit of your own lust. You have sunk deep into those sinful practices that are in the process of destroying you. And you have sought hard to deliver yourself out of the pit. I'm reminded of the story of the fellow who was walking through the graveyard in the dark of the night, when he fell into an open grave that had been dug, awaiting for the body to be placed in it the following day. And he jumped up, tried to catch hold of the sod on the top and pull himself out. And after about an hour or so of struggling, realized that he was incapable of getting out of the pit, so he decided just to take a nap and go to sleep. In the morning, surely they'll come and they'll help him out. It's not, you know, life or death. And after a while, he heard a thud, and a second fellow had fallen into the same open grave. And he heard this fellow as he was jumping and struggling, trying to get out. And finally, he said, "There's no use struggling. You'll never make it out of here." But he did. But the pit that you find yourself in, there's no escape. It's a sad thing to watch a person destroy himself with alcohol or with drugs, to destroy a brilliant mind, to destroy a beautiful family, to destroy a career. It's so tragic. And you feel so helpless. You would like to do something to reach out to them. You would like to somehow possibly help them. And they promise that they're going to change. They promise that things are going to be different. But they just go right back, as the scripture said, as a dog returns to its vomit and the pig to its wallowing in the mire. And you have that hopeless kind of feeling. You want to help, but there's nothing that you can do. Zechariah speaks of the pit where they are prisoners. He said, a pit where there is no water. The interesting thing about living your life in the pursuit of your own lust and living seeking only to satisfy the lust of your flesh, there comes a time when the activities of your flesh no longer are satisfying. The lust is still there, but there is no capacity to fill that desire. One of the great prophecies of the coming Messiah was that he was to open the prison doors to those that were bound, those that were in the pit where there was no water. When Jesus commissioned Paul to preach the gospel, he told him that he was sending him unto the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light, to deliver them from the power of Satan unto God. And the message of the gospel today is that you can be delivered from the pit of sin. Jesus has the power to set you free from the chains by which you are bound. What you have tried to do for yourself and cannot because of the weakness of your flesh, he is able. to set you free and to deliver you. But he will not only take you out of that pit where there is no water, but he will satisfy that clamant thirst within your soul. As the psalmist declared, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And the Lord is able today to take you out of that horrible pit in which you find yourself, out of that miry clay in which you are sinking, and he can set your feet upon a rock, and he can establish your life. Jesus cried to the multitudes, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he who drinks of the water that I give, as the scripture saith, out of his innermost being there will flow rivers of living water." He is not only able to satisfy your thirst, but he can make your life like a spring where others may come and find refreshment and life. You know, it seems that the world is filled with two kinds of people. Those who are always draining and leeching off of others, and those who are always pouring out themselves for the need of others. Those who are always on the take, and those who give. But as Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Zechariah encourages those prisoners in the pit where there is no water to turn to the stronghold. There is deliverance, there is help. Turn to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope, he said. So now he speaks of another kind of a prisoner. Not one in the pit where there is no water, who is in a hopeless condition, but that man who is a prisoner to the hope of the fulfillment of the promises of God. In the book of Job, we find Job asking the question, what is hope to the hypocrite when God takes away his soul, though he may be very rich? What hope is there for man at the time that he faces death if he has not the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your hope for the future? What is your hope concerning eternity? Do you think that you're just a highly evolved animal and that's why you live like a hog, because you think you're going to die like a dog? Death is not the end. Don't be deceived. The Bible said that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Death is not a cessation of existence. Death is not the end. Prisoners of hope, our hope is in the coming of the Messiah. It is he who will bring an end to the sufferings of humanity. It is he who will bring an end to wars. It is he that shall establish peace and righteousness upon the earth. And of his peace and of his righteousness, the scripture said, there shall be no end. It is he who can set you free today from that pit in which you find yourself. It's interesting that the psychologists have done a lot of experiments with rats to learn more about human behavior. It seems that in our psychology books in college, most of the experimentation was done with rats. and then they draw the corollaries to the human. I wonder why it is that they choose rats to find out how humans react and how humans think. Maybe we evolved from rats instead of monkeys. But they took these Norwegian wharf rats and they put them in these pails of water. And they kept water constantly spraying on them so that they could not roll over on their backs and float. And they found that these rats drowned in an average of 17 minutes in this condition. Now in the controlled group, because you always have a controlled group, they took those rats that were drowning, and just before they expired, just before they drowned, they lifted them out of the water, dried them off, put them back in their cages, fed them again, took care of them again for a few days. And then they put them back in the pail of water again under the same condition. And they found now that these rats back there in the pail of water under the same conditions in which the rats had drowned in 17 minutes, these rats were surviving for 37 hours. And they said it was because they had hope. They had been saved. And having been saved from the drowning, they had hope that they would be saved again, and that hope kept them going to an average of 37 hours. Oh, how hope can sustain you. How important it is that we have this hope. In a world that is falling apart, in a world in which men's hearts are failing them for fear of things that are coming to pass upon the earth, how wonderful it is to have that hope in Jesus Christ, you prisoners of hope. And we have that hope that He is going to come, He's going to establish His kingdom, and He will bring righteousness and peace to our earth. A question that I like to ask people, especially those that come around to my door trying to wake me up, is, what is your hope for eternal life? And upon what do you base that hope? As the song we sang this morning, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Today, are you in a prison, a prisoner in a pit where there is no water? Or are you a prisoner of hope, bound to that hope in Christ Jesus, a better day, a glorious kingdom? Now the Lord promises to those who are the prisoners of hope that He would render double unto them. He tells in the latter portion of the chapter how He is going to subdue their enemies, how He is going to glorify His people, how He will make them like gemstones in a crown. And then the prophet declares how great is His goodness and how great is His beauty. The one that we hope in, even Jesus Christ, how great is His goodness. His goodness to those who are trusting and hoping in Him. Have you experienced His goodness? Have you experienced His delivering power, bringing you out of the pit, the miry clay? He alone is capable and has the power to set you free. All of your efforts are of no avail. And many of you have already discovered that. I was interested in an interview I heard this week. As I think it was David Letterman that was interviewing Ted Turner. And he was declaring that he is devoting now his life to saving the earth. But it was interesting, he said, I really don't have any hope for success, but he said, you got to try. And you know, there are a lot of people today that have dedicated their lives to saving old Mother Earth. The enigma is that many of these people that have devoted themselves to saving Mother Earth are advocating practices that will destroy man. To continue in the practices that they advocate concerning unrestrained sex and all has a very real threat to this destruction of humanity by AIDS. What would it profit a man if he should save the world but lose his own soul? And I thought of it, how tragic. Devoting your life to a hopeless task of trying to save Mother Earth and yet not being concerned about your own eternal destiny. For you today, who find yourself in the pit of despair, in that prison where there is no water, I would like to encourage you that there is hope. There is a great hope in Jesus Christ, a hope for the future, a hope for this world. But it will not come to pass through Save the Whale programs, but it will only happen when Jesus comes again. That's a hope that will sustain you. That is a hope that is more than a hope. It's a living hope, according to Peter, because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It gives life and substance to the hope that we have. Oh, how great is His goodness. How great is His beauty to those who have discovered Him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for that hope that we have in Jesus Christ this morning. That hope that makes not ashamed. That hope that will never be ashamed. The hope that sustains us through the wild and futile mechanisms of man, whereby they are trying so desperately to find answers, only to be going deeper into the pit. Lord, we thank You that You took us out of that pit, out of that miry clay in which we were sinking. And You set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray for those today who have not yet discovered the power of Jesus Christ to open the prison doors and to set them free. And may they this day turn their lives over to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, that they might have that power to be what they can't be and to do what they can't do within themselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? You know, it's interesting how that when a person is dying, that they will turn to anything that offers them hope, even though it is ridiculous and foolish. But when you're dying, you know you're dying, people then will grasp onto any hope that is offered. And at that point, people oftentimes are victimized by these men, false prophets, and others who will hold out hope to them. Hope is so important for survival. Problem with a lot of people is that Satan has blinded their eyes and they don't realize that they are perishing. And they are putting their hope in things that cannot save them. So much hope is being placed in government today. So much hope is being placed in the United Nations. So much hope being put in these things that have in the past proved to be ineffective. And yet it is interesting to me that people seem to be so reluctant to put their hope in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our peace. How great is His goodness. How great is His beauty for those who have come to know Him and trusted Him. I would encourage you today, if you feel like you're in a pit where there is no water, you don't see any way out, I would encourage you to just turn your life over to Jesus Christ and find His help and His strength. You may go back to the prayer room as soon as we're dismissed, and pastors and counselors will be back there to bring you into a living hope. Today, Jesus can deliver you out of that prison, out of that pit, and you can become a prisoner of a different sort, a prisoner of hope, that hope in Him.